Happy Sabbath to you. It's so good to be here. I do have some handouts for you, and I think I've got enough for everybody. Now, we're talking about prayer. When someone is in love, they talk to each other. I was in Hong Kong when my future wife, Yvonne, was in Australia. I wrote to her every day. And back in those days, there was no such thing as international telephone calls. And if they were, they would be very, very expensive. And so today we're talking about prayer. Prayer is talking to someone you love. And prayer is about talking to God. Muslims pray, Buddhists pray, and Christians pray. Very often we need to understand God's response to our requests. We're talking about prayer and how prayer works. Does God operate by rules? That is, in answering our prayers. And if there are, who sets the rules? And of course, God sets His own rules regarding prayer. Is God limited by His own self-imposed rules? And what are these rules? Well, I know. Yes, God does operate by rules, and God is bound by His own rules. Yes, God is often limited by His own self-imposed rules. And so while it is important that we pray, we should understand, for example, very often we would be limiting God's blessings to us by not following some of these rules. For example, if you don't ask, you don't get. Time and again, we read about a minister's wife being woken up by God Himself or by an angel. Wake up! Wake up! Pray! Your husband is in danger. Now, the funny thing about it is this. If God knows Pastor so-and-so is in danger, is it not a roundabout way of looking after him? Why wake his wife up halfway through the night so she prays so he can bless him? Why doesn't he do a shortcut and say, this man is in danger and I will look after him? Why send an angel to get the pastor's wife pray? Well, the rule is, you don't ask, you don't get. Okay? God will not interpose until we request. God grants our request if it is for our good. For our good. Okay? Now, being a Christian doesn't mean you never ever get sick or you never ever die. Being a Christian, by the way, if being a Christian is a sure health insurance, then it would be the cheapest health insurance I know of. Okay? So God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to live on. But whether you're Christian or not, you still die. God answers his prayers according to his conditions, not ours. Okay, rules for us now regarding prayer. Those who pray must believe. If you don't believe, you won't get. James chapter 1, verse 6. James chapter 1, verse 6. It says, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So if we pray, we must believe. Secondly, we must obey. If we don't obey God, we don't get God's blessings. 1 John 3:22. 1 John 3:22. And this is what the Bible says. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So, if we obey God, the Bible says that is one of the conditions for answered prayers. We must forgive others. If we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. Matthew 5, 23, 24. Matthew 5, 23, 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, there remember that your brother has something against you. That means no good going to church and praying unless you do the right thing to start with. That is, leave your gift there before the altar and go to your father first, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. And so we must learn to forgive other people. According to God's will, Matthew 26:39. And this we learn from Jesus himself. 26:39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Nobody looks forward to the time when they go and see a dentist, because I don't like going to see the dentist. Jesus, being a human being as well as divine being, did not look forward to the cross. And especially when all the sins of the world crushed on him and all the bad things, bank robbers, wife beating, pornography, anything else was laid upon him. And he didn't like that. But he says, not as I will, but as you will. And we must persevere. Don't just say, well, I prayed once, that's enough. We must continue to pray and to ask. Okay. Did you know God finds it very difficult to not to answer our prayer? In fact, every time you pray, God loves to answer your prayer. If it is for your good, did you know a few times God actually asked people to stop praying? It's hard to believe. Don't pray. God finds it hard not to grant our requests if they are for our good. God has actually asked people not to pray. Paul himself, he had, now we are not too sure what the Bible says about it, but we learn from inspiration, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. Concerning this thing, that's the thorn in the flesh. And what was it? Well, we learn from spirit prophecy, it was his poor eyesight. And he couldn't see too well. In fact, he had major trouble reading his Bible. The other thing is, he couldn't see his audience too well. 8 and 9. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So it was really for his good. So Paul would not say, I'm a fantastic speaker. And everybody wanted to see me. And it was to keep him humble. It was a humiliating thing for him to have to depend on other people. Maybe he was kind of legally declared as blind or semi-blind. Here's another one. Moses desperately wanted to go to Canaan. He had been talking about it for 40 years. Wait till you get over there. It's beautiful. Oh, the fruit is nice. The land is nice. And the climate is perfect. And it's so good. He had been talking about it for a long, long time. And then we came to the river. And Moses says he did something that he shouldn't have done. That is, he struck the rock twice to get water from the rock. And it did happen, but it angered God because he was instructed to speak to the rock, not to strike it. And because of that, God says, I don't want you to go over there. What's more, he was getting old. Okay. Deuteronomy 3:26. Deuteronomy 3:26. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me on this matter. Said, Lord, please, I want to go over there. I want to see the land. I want to experience the fulfillment of that promise. And your people will get there. And God says, don't talk to me about it. Know why? God had a better plan. Did you know that? God had a better plan because after Moses died, God conducted the funeral, but after just a few days, God came and resurrected him. Would you like to see it? The second last book in the Bible, called Jude. Verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, there was a tug of war. Jesus was holding his hands and saying, Moses, come on up. I've got a better home, a better one than Canaan land. It's better than a land flowing with milk and honey. You come home with me. And the devil was hanging onto his feet. He says, oh no, he's my customer. He sinned. Therefore, he doesn't deserve to go to heaven. And God said, he is my child. My son would die for him. By the way, when God resurrected Moses, and when Elijah went up to heaven, and when Enoch went to heaven, heaven was actually in the red. In the red. Because Jesus hadn't died yet. Okay? So, heaven's account was in the red for a while. Anyway, let's go on. God grants us, God wants us to talk to him. He says, ask and it be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. By the way, if you like crossword puzzles, this is the only crossword that I know of. It only works in English, doesn't work with Chinese, doesn't work with Korean language. It's A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. Huh? First of all, you ask, where do you live? And then you look for it. And you, when you come to the door, you say, well, it doesn't look as if someone's there, but you better knock. If you don't knock, you don't get in, okay? Not just inform God, but you love talking to him. Now, when I was in Western Australia about 3 weeks ago, I was telephoning my wife every day. Hi, darling. I had a good day today. Thus and so. We talked to each other, and I believe if you really love God, you talk to him. The Muslims say you have to pray to God 5 times a day. Pray to Allah 5 times a day. And whether you are in the street or whether in your aeroplane, by the way, a sincere Muslim, would get on the center aisle of the aeroplane and he would pray, at the right time. So you pour out your heart to God and you talk to God about it. God is not an ambulance service. Only when you are desperate, you say, oh, I'm sick. I'm about to vomit. I better pray. I've got a major headache. I pray. I can't find my keys. I pray. You should pray all the time. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Huh? We often talk to God as the last resort. When there's nothing else we can do, we pray. We should be praying. Boys and girls, you want to see that again? I like that. Huh? God is not an ambulance service. Yeah. When you are desperate, you pray. You should be praying all the time. Huh? Instead, we should turn to him first. First, last, and best. That is how we treat God daily and continually. And Bible says, pray without ceasing. Connecting with God is important. There is spiritual power in our prayer. We can only operate when we are connected. Just like that will not work unless it is connected to this machine. That machine will work because it's connected to this machine. And so I believe we can only be successful Christians when we are connected with God. Without me, God says, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the difference. Without me, you can't do a thing. But with me, you can do everything. Huh? With me, with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ. And so we should pray. We should talk to God because we love Him. Okay, about confession. Some people think, well, if you offend God, you talk to God and apologize. Yes or no? Not necessarily, because Job says, just in case my children curse God in their hearts. Maybe my children don't believe God anymore. And so Job would pray for his children and apologize for his children. Now, Job prayed for his children. Jesus interceded with those who crucified him. I mean, imagine those awful Roman soldiers who put nails into his hand. It must hurt like blazes. And yet, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What about Stephen? Stephen was being stoned. Now, I don't know which is worse, being crucified or being stoned. I imagine if someone mercifully picks up a big rock and hits you on the head, you are unconscious. So the rest is nothing. But if they pick up little stones and throw at you, and yet, Stephen says, Father, don't hold that to their account. Please, he prayed for those who were murdering him. And so Jesus challenges us, so far you have asked nothing in my name, that your joys may be full. I'm sure you have had prayers answered. And I'm sure if time should allow, we would all come out and tell what wonderful answers prayer we've experienced. Now, as we read the Bible, we have been told, steps to Christ, never should the Bible be studied without prayer. Now, there's only one book. How come there are so many different conclusions out of that one book? Maybe they don't receive the direction from the Holy Spirit. Maybe they don't pray. I don't know. I don't want to judge. But we, if we are to understand the Word of God, we should pray before. And my wife and myself have always prayed before we studied the Bible. I call it interactive reading. When you read the Bible, when God speaks to you, you should speak back to Him. It would be wrong for you to pick up the phone and you say, oh, it is Dr. Tung. And then you go, blah, 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 blah. You talk, and then you say, bye-bye, hang up. That's rude. You should listen, and you should talk, and you should listen. And if the Bible is the Word of God, and if God talks to you, maybe you ought to say a few things like this. It's a two-way conversation. Maybe you should say, yes, Lord, I want to be like that. I really want that. Or you should say, Father, I don't ever want to leave you. I don't ever, ever want to leave you. I want to be a Christian for the rest of my life. Or Lord, help me to learn this lesson well. Or, so in reading one chapter, you may pray five times. That's good. Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. That's a good one, isn't it? And so, do you know the center of Christian, the center of Christian worship is prayer. In the church service, the most important part is not the songs, not the hymns, not the offering, not the preaching, but collectively we speak to God. We are focusing on the Old Testament sanctuary, priestly ministration. There you have it. There's your altar. When you want to be a Christian, first and foremost, you claim Jesus as your Savior who died for you. And then that is, they call it a laver. It is a bath. It is baptism. So, no good joining this church without baptism. If you've never been baptized, it is time to think about it. You ought to be washed by the blood of the Lamb, and then you join the church. Once you go inside the tent, this is what you see. Okay. By the way, the whole thing, I'll do that again. The whole thing is the shape of a cross, because you have the light on one side, the bread on the other side, the altar of Shekinah glory there, and so it is a cross, shape of a cross, and I'll show you. Here we have the Heavenly Father, the Shekinah glory. By the way, now if you answer up, you get a foreign coin. Would you like that? Now tell me, what does that represent? Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm giving it away. Now this one. I've got some foreign coins here, young people. Tell me, what does the showbread represent? Who knows? And older people. If you can tell me what that represents, you get a foreign coin. Could you say that again? The bread represents the word. Good one. Jenny, come on out. That's worth a lot of money. There you go. And that, by the way, the word of God is good too. Come on out here. Thanks. All right. Now, the next lot. I said that represent the Heavenly Father. That's the bread of life. Or, I am the bread who comes down from the Father. Now, the third one. Come on. Who knows that? Who said that? Oh, good. You want a coin? Yeah. Come on out. Oh, you love this one. I just came back from Hong Kong. I've got heaps of these.
Okay. Yeah.
So you have got the Father, got the Son, got the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that represent? The Bible actually tells you that that's worth. Oh, that's a beautiful coin here. What does that represent?
Prayer.
Who said that? You can't have a second one. Anyone else? Okay. Now, let me just tell you what they are. That says, John 6:35 says, I'm the bread of life. And that one is the Holy Spirit. Why seven? You'll be amazed. Have a look at this one. You love this. Is there only one Holy Spirit or five spirits? Revelation 5:6. Come on. Revelation 5:6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, and sent out into all the earth. Now, how many spirits are there? Can you explain that? Would you like to have a look at the second verse? Isaiah 11:2. Now, Isaiah 11:2. Now, you help me as I read, okay? When I read, you say 1 and 2 and 3. You think you can do that? Okay. All right, the Spirit of the Lord, you say one. The Spirit of wisdom, two. The Spirit of understanding, three. The Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, seven. So these are the seven aspects of the Holy Spirit. Get it? All right. Now, that's good. All right. Something else that you might want to know. If you can tell me all three articles inside the ark, you get a coin. What is inside the Ark of the Covenant?
Ten Commandments, the rod, Jesse, and the manna bread.
You can't have it second time. Young people out there, come on. What's in there inside? The Ten Commandments? The manna? Aaron's rod, come on out. Oh, this is a good one. You love this one. You've never seen a coin like that before, have you? Yep. And so, now let's go on here. The incense represents 5:8. Revelation 5:8. Revelation 5:8. All right. 5:8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And so the incense, you better have a look at the screen now. Incense represent the screen. And by the way, the priest stands in front of the curtain, and he can't get in and see what's inside the most holy place. But we can't see heaven, but our prayers, watch the screen, will go up and over the curtain into the most holy place. That. You like that? Huh? Okay. Have you ever thought of writing a letter to God? You know, when you write, it actually Thank you. Now, I have some pens here, brand new pens. If you don't have one, just put up your hand. These pens are called boomerang pens because they come back to me. Okay? These are boomerang pens. If you want a pen, you get a pen and it comes back to me. Now, I want you, some people are plagued with guilty conscience. Some people, but you want to see what's in there? Would you like to see what's in there? Yes? No? Yes? I made this. This is what I call a model of the altar of incense. And the prayer goes up like this. See? You like that? Now, what happens is I want you to write a letter. You say, I have been praying for my son. I have been asking God to forgive my sins. Nobody can see what you have written. And I'll stop talking for a minute and I'll write something here to God. And now, nobody can see that letter. I have just written a letter to God, and this is what happens. I can't burn it, did you know that? Because that, I put it in here, and it's gone. Would you like to come out? The first person who comes out gets a coin. Oh, there you go. Too late. There's your coin. Would you like a coin too? You can have a coin. By the way, that is not smoke. Smoke is very harmful, but this is glycerin and water. And it's totally harmless. God reads Korean. So you can write in Korean. You can't buy that little device. Okay. Now, when you write to God, and if you want to write afterwards and tell me, I can start the thing again. But the thing is this. Jesus prayed always. Huh? Before and after each major event in his life, in his ministry, he prayed. He prayed for his disciples. He wanted them to be united together, that none would be lost, and that they may have joy, and they would be kept from the devil, and they would be sanctified by the truth. By the way, the Lord's Prayer is not our Father which art in heaven. That's the disciples' prayer. Lord's Prayer is John 17. Did you know that? Whole chapter of it. And this, all you can see here is a summary of what he wanted. He wanted us to love each other, to be united, that none would be lost. And he prayed for us individually by name who are now living in the last days. John 17, verse 20. By the way, you know why some texts are in yellow and some are in black and white? That's because that means be sure to read the yellow ones. John 17, verse 20. This is what it says. I do not pray for these alone, talking about the 12 disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. We have believed through the word of God, and God has prayed for you. Isn't that wonderful? God has prayed for you. And so Jesus prayed, and Jesus is the Son of God. Will you pray to God all the time? You say, yes, I certainly will. I'll pray to him every day. That's all I have now. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for the challenge of this hour. We want to talk to you more often than we do. Help us to trust in you, to obey your words. We want to believe with all our hearts that if we pray, you will answer our prayers. And Father, we pray that when Jesus comes, may each one of us be ready for the soon coming of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.